I mean, we started on the test series, and if you're a little testy, it's because we're testing, right? And it's not even midterms yet. But what we found out is last week is every day is a test, whether we want it to be or not. Every day is a test. It is. And we looked at Isaiah 48:10, where it says, "See, I have refined you, though not as silver, but I have tested you in the furnace of affliction." If you want to find out how strong someone or something is, you put it to the test, right?
Yeah.
You really do. I mean, I like to tune up engines. And our camper has a big block Chevy, and I love big block engines. I just can't help myself. I like the blah, 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 right? I don't like the gas. But once I tune that thing up and I start it, and it just blah, 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 I can't help myself. I have to rev it up. I have to test it. I have to make sure that, you know, everything's going to stay together. Maybe that's why all the bikers do that. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't know. But anyway, we like to test things, and God loves to find our strengths by testing us. And he likes to find our weaknesses so that he can refine our strengths. 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7 says this, "In this you greatly rejoice." Now, I did not really touch on this last week, but I'm going to in the future. "In this you greatly rejoice." How many of you rejoice in testing? Yeah, some of us, kind of, you know. But, well, it says we're supposed to, but it's really, really hard. "In this you greatly rejoice, though for a little while you may have had to suffer all kinds of grief and all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold," and in Isaiah God says, "I don't refine you like silver. I don't refine you like the world. Our faith is of greater value than gold. Gold which perishes, though refined by fire, our faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." A lot of times people read this and they say, well, you know, when Jesus Christ comes back and is revealed, but Jesus Christ is revealed every day in our lives. Jesus Christ is revealed every day in how we respond to the tests of life. And you see, it's not like God is sitting up there waiting to test us. When God created all of the heavens and all of the universe, he created certain laws of nature, certain laws of spiritual values, certain laws of balance, and those laws of balance test all the time. Storms test trees. Storms test, you know, beaches, and storms test all kinds of things, don't they? You see, there's a testing process going on all the time in every part of nature. in an atom, the positive and negative, particles in an atom, they test one another all the time. They're interacting with one another. And the way we get a nuclear blast is when one of those particles doesn't test right, when it gets out of balance. You see, so God is in the process of testing all of creation. And God tests us every day to refine us and to make us genuine, so that we may be proved genuine. God does not tempt us. And this is where I want to touch on this a little bit before we get into the summation of today's message and in the challenge of today's message. God does not tempt us. He tests us because he loves us and wants us to grow. He wants us to flourish. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to have joy in our life with him. God does not tempt. So if you ever say, well, you know, God's just tempting me. No, he's not. God does not tempt, because there's a big difference between tempting and testing. I want us to go to James 1 and read 13 and through 15. It says, "When tempted, no one should say, 'God is tempting me.'" And if you hear somebody say that, say, you don't know God very well, because he's not tempting you, okay? "For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted," listen to this, "when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death." Now, it's kind of interesting. We find out that God doesn't tempt, he tests. But initially, God, in his creation, didn't want anybody to be tempted. God wanted us all to walk with him and to be with him, okay? And so what we find out is that God doesn't tempt. But here's another secret that a lot of people don't understand. And if you dig through this verse, you'll understand it better. The devil did not make you do it. Flip Wilson, the comedian, was wrong. Okay? The devil, you know, I don't know if you remember this, a long time ago, the devil made me do it. Well, no, the devil did not. Because look at this. The devil does use, okay, our weaknesses and our fallen nature. Okay? But what is tempted is our weaknesses and our fallen nature is tempted. He uses that. He uses our old self. He uses those evil desires. It says that each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he is dragged away and enticed. So you see, the devil, he gets way too much credit. He does. Our own evil desire, our own fallen nature is very powerful, and that's why we need the more powerful blood and power of Christ Jesus in our life. Because we need that very, 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 very powerful, regenerating Holy Spirit power in our life to keep that evil desire in our past, okay? He tempts us, okay, through our own evil desires. If we give in to those desires, then we are dragged away and enticed. And come on, we've all sinned, so we know how this works, right? And when we happen to sin what we consider a little bit, then it says that sin grows and grows and grows in this verse until it kills us. Until it kills us. Now, you know, there's a lot of anything that misses the mark of walking with God is a sin. But, you know, let's look at some of the big ones. Addiction, okay? Man, I'll tell you what, it starts out with just one time and then boom. Or how about unforgiveness? It starts out with just one thing that you hold on to, and before you know it, you are a very, very bitter, frowny-faced person. Have you ever seen people and you've wondered, how did they get such a drastic frown on their face? How can it be there all the time? It takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile. I want smile wrinkles in my face. I had an old cowboy friend of mine years ago say, you know, Jim, you should get up every morning and figure out how to make somebody smile. And the first person you should make smile is yourself. Because if you're not smiling, you can't make nobody else smile. And that's just so true. So true, okay? How about greed? Ooh, you know, I want more, or lust, or idolatry, or murder. You know, we say, well, you know, I would never murder somebody. But you know, in your mind, have you ever just had a lot of rage? You see, God says there's all these things that start and they grow and grow and grow if we don't deal with them. God does not tempt. Our evil desires tempt us, and Satan uses those temptations to kill us. Okay? I just want us to be clear on that. Don't give God, okay, the blame for temptations. Don't give Satan the credit. It's your evil desires that start this whole process. So we need to get up every morning and say, okay, I want to have a clean slate. I want to have the Holy Spirit in me. I want to have the joy of the Lord. I want to have the power of God in me. I want to be able to see when my old self starts creeping in and the enemy is just sitting there just kind of feeding it. You know, he does. He feeds it. Just like a big old rabid dog. Come on, puppy, let's go. Yeah, we're going good. Uh-huh, come on, okay. And then all of a sudden, that big rabid dog bites you right in the hiney, and you're like, what happened? You see, we need to know God does not tempt. Our evil desires start the process, and Satan uses every opportunity to kill us. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God does not tempt, but he allows temptation. He allows it so that we can be tested, okay? It is a test. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is what? What does it say? God is? He's faithful. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And the way out is the blood of Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit, and a renewed mind and a renewed heart. That's the way out. When everything in you starts screaming, this is the wrong way to go, you need to get in the scriptures, you need to listen to a worship song, you need to get yourself to a place where you can strengthen yourself in God so that the old nature goes away. When you turn on the lights, the darkness flees, and the light is Jesus Christ. We taught this last month in talking about the whole aspect of God and creation. God said, what's the first thing he spoke? Let there be light. And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And God, Jesus Christ, was there. When he said, let there be light, he was creating the light of Christ to basically be in the creative process of everything that we are. So, you know, it might just say, you get to that point and you're fighting and say, okay, God, let there be light. Let there be light. Let there be light in the Word. Let there be light in my surroundings. Let there be light someplace. Let me see the light of Christ so that I don't go and let my evil desires drag me down that. Because God is faithful, and he does not let us be tempted. Cindy showed me this verse in the Passion Translation. I love this. I love this. Let's put it up there. It says, we all experience times of testing, which is normal for every human being. Wow, how about that? But God will be faithful to you. He will screen and filter the severity, the nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And listen to this. Each test is an opportunity to trust him more, for along with every trial, God has provided for you a way of escape that will bring you out of it victoriously. Every test in our life, every temptation that comes into our life to test us is a way for us to trust him more. A way for us to trust him more. I just love this translation. I was kind of skeptical. Every time a new translation comes out, you know. I mean, I like to stick with the original translation. And no, the original translation wasn't King James. It was Hebrew and Greek. And I got a copy down of both of them down in my office. If you'd like to read them, it'd be great, you know. I really do. But anyway, so when a new... But I love this. I love the Passion Translation. I love it because it brings such life to it. He will screen and filter the severity, nature, and timing of every test or trial you face so that you can bear it. And each test is an opportunity to trust him more. That's the sermon right there. You know, God is preaching it to us in the Passion Translation right there. I'm doing this so that you can learn to trust me more. Because if we fall back on our resources, a lot of times we fall way back on our resources to that old man. And man, I'll tell you what, the old man isn't good. The old man isn't good. You know, I had a situation this week where somebody made me kind of upset. And if I would have went back to the old man a number of years ago, I'm not going to tell you how many years ago, it's been quite a while, but if I would have went to the old man, I would have walked across there, jerked him out of their outfit, and I would have throttled him or arrested him. But you know, the new man went, well, isn't that nice? I want to go over there and throttle him. But I know that Jesus wants me to pray for him. So I started praying for this situation. And it wasn't very long after that, you know, the situation resolved. The person came back and said, hey, you know, that wasn't very nice. I'm sorry. I about fell over, you know. But that's how God handles it. God handles it way better than our nature handles it. You see, the devil uses our fallen past to destroy our risen future. Isn't that neat? That if we know this, the devil uses our fallen past to destroy our risen future, but God tests our risen future to destroy our fallen past. Now, I think I wrote that in the bulletin, and if I didn't, you need to write it down. But you see, the devil uses our fallen past to destroy our risen future. He doesn't want us to progress on in this life of God's resurrection and life. The devil doesn't, but God says, I'll tell you what, I'm going to let the devil take a shot at you every once in a while so that we can destroy your fallen past with your risen future. We're going to prove to him. We're going to prove to him that you're my kid and that I am all powerful to keep you and to grow you. It's not about us being proven. It's about us letting God prove himself again and again and again and again. So if you want God to get in the devil's face, then trust him and go to him and run to him and say, look, Lord, I know this is hard. This is a test. And this is what I would like to do, but what do you want me to do? How do you want me to use my risen future, my risen present? How do you want me to use that, Lord, to destroy the enemy and to grow in you? So here is a test that we can pass this week, okay? We've looked at temptation. We've looked at testing. We know another. There's going to be a few more things that we're going to look at in the first part of our sermons in the next couple weeks when it comes to testing and temptation. But every week, I want to give you something that you can work on. I want to give you a test that you can pass. How about that? You want a test you can pass? Okay. I want to tell you something before I tell you that this is a test you can pass. Most of us probably failed it this week. Maybe even today. And the day's not even half over yet. Okay, here's a test that you can pass this week. You can pass the grace test. You can pass it. And this is how. 1 Peter 5:5 in the Amplified, okay? For God sets himself against the proud, the insolent, the overbearing, the disdainful, the presumptuous, and the boastful. And he opposes, frustrates, and defeats them. Okay, that's what God does to our old nature. Because all those things are hooked up to our old nature. But this is what God gives grace and favor and blessing to the humble. You see, when we come to God and when we turn all that stuff over to him, we realize that it has been defeating us in the past and it no longer has to. There's a humility that comes with that. It's called the humility of God's grace, of realizing that he's given us more than we deserve in grace. Have you ever heard somebody say, oh man, I just wish once I'd get what I deserve? I tell people, oh no, you don't. No, you haven't read the Bible, have you? What we deserve and what we get are two different things. In Christ Jesus, we get salvation. We get a risen present, a risen future. We get eternity with God. We get God's grace and love in our life. Okay, without that, someday there's going to be a judgment. I don't know about you, but every time anymore I look at the news and I see a state that makes it legal to kill babies right before up to birth, I look at the people signing that are happy, and I don't get mad at them. I grieve for them because they have no idea that someday they're going to be standing before a great white throne and their entire eternity is going to be hell because they killed children on this side of eternity. They're murderers. Anybody involved in that, and if anybody says to me, what do you think? I said, the millisecond that those two cells come together, it is life. You know, and I just want to tell you that this denomination and this network, we stand with life, and we think that's an abomination. It's worse than some of the stuff that went on in the Second World War. They're not even letting people, you know, come to life. And they said, I don't know. I watched them, and at first I was very angry, and then I looked at them, and I got so very, very sad. They're smiling as they're writing a death warrant to every child in the womb in the state of New York. There will be an accountability, and I don't want to be there. I want to pass the grace test. And the grace test sometimes even makes us look at somebody and instead of being angered, start praying for them. I am praying for each and every one of those people involved in that. I am praying that the wrath of God will be seen by them before they die, because if they see it after they die, there's no hope. I don't know about you, but I've seen the presence of God in my prayers, good and bad, and I don't like to see his bad presence. He is fearful. He is to be cherished and worshipped and honored, but he is to be feared because he is the God of the universe. And the God of the universe that is all of that, he has chosen to give us this an abundance of grace in Christ Jesus. Who does he give it to? God gives grace to the humble. It says so right here. When you come to Christ Jesus, every time you feel a little proud, a little insolent, a little overbearing, a little disdainful, a little presumptuous, a little boastful, Okay? You just go right back into Christ's arms and say, okay, I want to be humble because I want grace. There's when we talk about grace, there's different aspects of grace. This morning I'm talking about the grace, the unmerited favor of God that God gives us and we're supposed to pass on. So if we want to pass the grace test, we have to first of all receive God's grace through Christ Jesus, and then we have to pass it on. Okay? God gives grace to the humble, so run away from any hint of pride in your life. It's okay, to go, wow, I did a good job. Isn't that awesome? It's okay to tell somebody, wow, you're doing an amazing job. It is okay to feel good about yourself. But when we take that pride to the point to where we're like, well, I'm better than you, then you've crossed the line. It's okay to be good. It's okay to be better than you were yesterday. Just don't compare yourself with anybody else. Just don't let it become an unhealthy pride. See, when we humble ourselves and trust God, we pass the grace test. That's the first pass, humbling ourselves and trusting God. and I know it's very hard. So every morning we have to go, okay, Lord, thank you for today. You know, we got to examine ourselves. We got to look at the Lord. We have to let Him fill us up with the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to be prepared for what we're going on. We need to get spiritually dressed in the morning. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure none of you are running outside in your boxers this week, are you? You know, so don't run outside spiritually in your boxers. Take some time in the morning and make sure that you're ready for the grace test. Make sure that you're ready to pass it yourself and to pass it on to others, okay? Here are some signs that you are taking and flunking a grace test. Now, I put a little place in the bulletin, and if any of these kind of hits home, this might be a place of prayer for you, okay? Here's some areas where we flunk, okay? Your ego is hurt because you want more attention from someone or anyone. We've never done that, have we? Okay? Okay, you weren't recognized or you feel underutilized. Our grandkids were here. Five of our grandkids were around this week. I don't feel underutilized this week. And I was overly recognized, and I loved every minute of it. Okay, but you know, you weren't recognized. How about this? You constantly reflect upon and inform listeners of your accomplishments, your skills, your degrees, your trophies, your brilliance, and your amazing prowess. Now, nobody's ever done that, right? You've never kind of fluffed yourself up a little. Okay, if you do it a little bit, you might be flunking the grace test. Or how about this? You pout. Has anybody ever pouted? Huh? Because maybe you pout because you didn't get credit for a project you led or an idea you implemented, or you just didn't get your way, so you pout. Okay? How about this? You get mad when you're corrected? Especially by that close, significant person in your life? It happens, okay? Or how about you have a rebellious attitude towards those in authority? Yeah, ouch, right? Yeah. It's like, but that person in authority is a total idiot, God. God says, I don't care. There's scriptures that cover that, okay? Or maybe you justify self-pity. You know, maybe every once in a while you just live in Eeyore's world, you know? Thanks for noticing me, you know? You're living in a thatch hut that leaks when it rains, you know, self-pity, okay? Or how about this? You're slow to forgive or to apologize. Man, I'll tell you, these are indicators, not all of them, but just a few indicators, main indicators, that we might be flunking the grace test. You see, today, flunking one of these areas of the grace test, it really stinks when you do. Because it means, are you ready for this? When you flunk the grace test, any area in your life, when you flunk the grace test, it means you got to take it over. There's not like, well, I'm going to take an incomplete on that, Lord. I'm going to the next class. No, it ain't happening. God's saying, no, you're taking that class over, you know? You're taking that one over and over and over and over and over. So I just really encourage you to really get a hold of God's grace, so that whatever area of your life, you know, you're just not passing the grace test. Say, God, I want to do this. I want to do this. Today, every one of us can pass the grace test and receive more grace. And that scripture is so true. We need to humble ourselves under the authority of God's word. And we just need to receive more grace so that we can pass the grace test. We pass the grace test by passing on grace. We pass the grace test by receiving and being filled with the grace of God and being aware of how gracious He is and how wonderful He is. In Ephesians, there's a scripture about God's unmerited favor, His grace. It says, and yet grace, this is then amplified again, God's unmerited favor was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bounteous gift. It says that God gave each and every one of us grace, the exact grace that we need individually. Grace gifts. The Bible is full of stories of the grace giftings of God. The New Testament it abounds with the grace giftings of God. The church, the body of Jesus Christ, it should be filled with the grace giftings and the understanding of the grace giftings of God. Because we each have gifts that God has given us that only we have in the way that we have them. You have an understanding grace gift, but it understands differently than somebody else. You have a serving grace gifting, but it serves differently than somebody else because of the unique you that God created you to be. You see, God has given us these amazing gifts. God's unmerited favor was given to each of us individually, not indiscriminately. Individually, but in different ways, in proportion to the measure of Christ's rich and bounteous gift. In the measure of Christ's gift, that you can't measure Christ's gifts. It's unmeasurable. What Christ did for us is unmeasurable. So in proportion to that gift, you're getting grace. And if you think, well, I need more grace, then you just go to Jesus and say, I need more grace. And He goes, okay. There's no end to it. There's no limit to it. There's no limit to His love. There's no limit to His grace. But we have to come to Him and humble ourselves before Him and ask for Him to fill us with grace and trust Him to take that grace and utilize it in ways that we never could. This morning, I want us to pray this prayer. I'm going to pray it, and we're going to pray it together. We don't do this all the time, but I think that this is a very, very powerful prayer. I put it in the bulletins for you to pray throughout the week. Use it as an outline to kind of help you remember what this morning was all about. So this morning, let's all bow our heads, and I'm going to pray about a sentence of, or part of a sentence of this, and I want you to respond by praying it right after I do. Let's pray. Father, we don't want to flunk the grace test. Let's say that. Father, we don't want to continually retake the grace test.
I don't want to continually retake the grace test.
We want to pass this test.
I want to pass this test.
So we choose to humble ourselves.
So I choose to humble myself.
Under the authority of Your word. And we thank You for more grace.
Thank You for more grace.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. A very, very simple little prayer. But sometimes the most effective prayers are the shortest and the simplest. There's one prayer we all pray a lot. And sometimes we don't even realize we've prayed it. And it's like, oh Lord, help me. Right? And I just encourage you to remember this week and to build on these scriptures and to say, God, I want to pass your grace test. I want to walk away from every day knowing that I received your grace and I passed on your grace and I passed your test. Father, we come to you today and I pray that this prayer would be answered for each and every one of us. I thank you for your grace and I pray that you would give us a revelation of just how amazing you are every minute of every day. I thank you, Lord, that we're here to receive from you. But Lord, we're to walk what we receive today, we're to walk it out and we're to give it to others this week. And I pray that you'd give us, Lord, the supernatural ability to give away your grace this week. We thank you for this truth. We pray that you would cement it within our souls, within our minds, and within our spirits. In Jesus' name, amen.